Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of High Velocity Radio, and this is going to be a good one. Today we have with us Diane Steele with Steele Recruiting. Welcome, Diane.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Well, before we get too far into things, tell us about Steele Recruiting. How are you serving folks?
Sure. Well, Steele Recruiting is a firm, an executive search firm that specifically focuses on executive assistance supporting at the C-suite level. We support both for-profit and nonprofit organizations. We're based out of the Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota area, but now with virtual, we have the capability to work across the United States. In addition to the recruiting function of this firm, we have a passion, I call it the pandemic passion project called C-Suite Executive Assistant Association. And it's a group that we started back in April to connect executive assistants, since most people are working virtually, with some exciting programming, guest speakers, some learning opportunities, just bringing people together. So we love what we do, and we feel that we really provide a wonderful service for both the executive as well as the executive assistants.
Now, can you explain what exactly is an executive assistant, and does it vary from firm to firm?
Sure. Well, an executive assistant, there are many different levels of an executive assistant, but for the most part, an executive assistant is the person who keeps the executive on task. So their tasks can range anywhere from general correspondence of managing their emails, scheduling their travel, managing their calendar, being in leadership meetings and taking meeting minutes, being a thought partner to the executive, laying out their daily schedule, running behind them in meetings, setting up travel on the higher scope. They could actually play a higher role, like a chief of staff, where they actually are more of a contributor at that level, but have still the administrative tasks. So depending upon the organization, there's different functions, but for the most part, they are running an administrative role, keeping the executive on track and on task so that they can be most successful and most productive.
Now, is this a role that happens maybe in like Fortune 500 companies, or is this something that any business might have an executive assistant or a need for one and maybe they didn't know it?
Executive assistants, the position exists in every company, whether you're Fortune 5 to a startup organization. So you will find them just depending upon the organization, what their structure is. For example, many startups here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis area, they have reached a point where growth in their business, where they have found themselves getting caught in the weeds with tasks that they could be taking off their plate, and then now moving into a position where could we hire somebody in for $30, $40, $50 an hour to take this off my plate to then be more productive and open up some hours in their week. Whereas moving up to any type of a Fortune 5, it's a structured position that has been in place for a while. It may have evolved or changed over time, but you will find an executive assistant in any field, any genre, any level of business, any type of business.
So now, what compelled you to focus on executive assistant as your specialty?
Sure. Well, actually, I cut my teeth, so to speak, back in the day working for a large international firm that specialized in executive assistance, and it has followed me throughout the years. So I finally gave in to the universe and said, okay, this is what I should be doing. So I will focus on executive assistance. And so the world told me to continue that way because I have recruited for just about every position that there is, but the executive assistant has followed me the entire way. So that was the universe talking to me. Now, I also absolutely adore the executive assistant as a as a person and as what they do, that they not only have the smarts, but they also have the skills and they have the emotional intelligence. They keep the glue together for the executive, and they are such an integral part, sometimes forgotten and sometimes not appreciated in the organization, but they're a very special group of people that are, I think, are one of the most important hires and one of the most important positions that a company could have.
Now, do you find, like, what, how do you find a good executive assistant? I would imagine a lot of them already have jobs as executive assistant. And so they'd be moving from one opportunity to another. Like, what are some characteristics that stand out for you when you're recruiting, like, that catches your eye?
Mm-hmm. Well, how I find them is because I specialize in executive assistants. Executive assistants will many times find me and say, want to discuss confidentially, because I'm a retained search recruiter, that they would potentially be looking for something in the future. There might be an acquisition or some changes in staff and leadership where they know that they will be in the market. So we'll have conversations ahead of time and they'll be in my database as a candidate. If people don't come to me, then I go out and I identify candidates who will be a good fit for a particular position. But typically for a role, I will have a mix of both passive candidates in my database as well as people that I actively recruit. So in looking for great candidates, I look for what you would typically look for in any candidate bringing onto the organization. First and foremost is I look for people that would be an excellent fit with the culture. Culture is so important because all things align with checking the boxes of being able to do the job. It's the fit with the executive that is the most difficult and most challenging to match, because it is that piece that the executive needs to trust to open up their calendars, to open up their whole lives, sometimes their family lives and their personal business to this person. So it's the alignment. And I can't explain exactly how I identify that, because I know it's a skill. At a certain point of doing this so long that I can make that alignment and I can understand the executive and know what the administrative assistant or the executive assistant brings to the table and find that match. So all things set aside with the checking of the boxes of the skill set, it's that personality and that professional match that matches, aligns well with the CEO or the C-suite executive.
So now when an executive reaches out to you and starts working with you, I would imagine the first part is talking to that executive to kind of get to know what they like, you know, must-haves, nice-to-haves, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. What are some of the questions you're asking so that you can gauge what a good fit looks like?
Well, a few things I ask them is, what is the history? What have you been doing? Have you had an executive assistant? What were the challenges? If someone has left, why did they leave? Figure out what happened from there, or where they are at, or if it's a brand new executive that's never had an assistant. And so if it's somebody who has never had an assistant, I'll ask them, where are you spending a significant amount of time during your day that could be taken off the plate, your plate, by employing somebody that could support you, to find out where their challenges are. So I find that, what keeps you up at night with your job? What would be the ultimate thing to have with an executive assistant to come in and just save your day, so that I know that that person has that specific skill set? Now, maybe there might be computer programs that they need to know. I make sure that they align with those programs. Different levels of executive assistants have different skill sets in being able to support a board. And that's, to me, that can become very challenging, because then you not only support the executive, but a board of up to, I've had 40 people on a board with monthly meetings. Do they have that skill set? So really diving into the details of the job specifically to make sure that there's the experience, the technology experience, but then what are you looking for? What is the culture? What do you see as a good fit for you? How do you like to schedule your day? How do you like to communicate? What technologies do you use? What technologies are you open to? And just dive deep into that person. And then from there, once we start having some candidates go through, we can closer vet who is more in alignment. But typically, we get it down to a group of anywhere between 6 and 10 on the high end of candidates to present to the executive or the CEO. And we always find the perfect match in the end.
So now for the executive that's never had an executive assistant before, what are some symptoms that it might be time to think about hiring one?
Sure. And this is the tough thing because when you are used to doing it all, you're typically, and I'm a victim of this, or I'm guilty rather, of being a in charge and being a control freak. If think of things such as where you're spending your time, are you missing appointments? Are you missing important emails? Could that have led to an important meeting or business loss? Right there is, that's key. Are you just lost money? So that's one thing that something needs to change. Take a look underneath your desk. Do you have boxes or piles of paper or in the back credenza? That's another key indicator that perhaps it's time to have somebody start an electronic filing system for you. Look at your email box. Do you have over 100 email messages, whether they're new or old? How many are sitting in there? You shouldn't have more than 100 at any given time sitting out there. They need to be filed. I had someone in this exact position where CEO had boxes all over their office and 30,000 emails in their email box when he came to me, and he was nervous about getting an executive assistant. And when I went, after I placed someone there, I went back to see him 3 months later, and there was not a speck of paper in his office. His email box was cleaned out and organized. I thought actually he didn't office there anymore. It was pretty amazing, but he has hands down said that he has gained so much business and been more productive this year than in the past. And he knows that it was because he has a very effective executive assistant.
Now, let's talk about how an executive hires a recruiter for this task. I would imagine at first their instinct is, oh, let me see, maybe somebody knows somebody or somebody's available. But to invest in a recruiter, can you talk about kind of the pros and cons of going with a recruiter rather than just trying to do it yourself?
Sure. And of course, when you're hiring a recruiter, there's always a cost behind that. So that's always a consideration. However, if you're already behind with your tasks and your administrative and your, the money invested in a recruiter, you will get to your end game quicker and find results than spending that time that you don't have in the recruiting field. So leave it to the specialist. If you have a toothache, you go to the dentist, you don't go to the doctor. Leave it to the specialist, and the money, the investment will be well worth it. So when you find a recruiter, there's a couple of different avenues to take. You can find a recruiter who is either works on a retained model or somebody who works on a contingent model. And I've worked both. Usually new recruiters start out as a contingent basis. And a contingent basis is where a recruiter gets paid only if you hire somebody through them. So this means that you're not usually tied to the one recruiter, and you can engage with multiple recruiters at once to help you find somebody. And you can also leverage your own sources and recruit, and whoever finds race to the finish line, the best candidate you'll hire somebody. You know, that works, but I find that the retained basis, which is different, retained model is where you exclusively work with a recruiter who specializes in this role, whatever it might be, executive assistant, and they focus on your project. You would typically pay them in installments, and they would work until you found the perfect placement in the end. So to reach a retained status as a recruiter, you have had to have worked in the field, gained the respect, and had a track record in order for businesses and yourself to be confident in paying the money as a retained model. It really is a choice, but in my opinion, a retained model recruiter has, because they're specialized, has a solid database of passive candidates that they've worked with, they're there, that has been growing, and they focus on the project. They typically don't take on any more work than they can handle, at least I don't, because they want to make sure that the outcome is spectacular. On a contingent basis, contingent recruiters are, you know, they're not guaranteed to get paid. So they are, they have many different positions, holding a lot of plates, spinning in the air at once. And focus isn't as focused on the project because they have to make money and they have to find placements. So they're managing many, many projects at once. Also, candidates typically, especially at this very high level of executive assistant, are very reluctant to send out their resume to just any old job posting or recruiter that's out there because it's highly confidential. They're at that level where they have this relationship with a Fortune 500 company or a, you know, a company, people know people in the business. It's a virtual world and a global economy where if the word gets out and they're afraid that they will be detected, that they are looking, that they'll lose their job. So in that case, candidates would turn to retained recruiters where there is a high level of confidentiality and little to no risk of being detected. In my case, no risk that they are passive and or looking at this time.
So now if you're this executive, you want to get clarity around that, number one, and really understand the value that somebody like you, an expert, provides before you kind of agree to the terms of this. And what is kind of the expectation of solving the problem for them? Is this something that takes a month, a year, 6 months? Like, what is the typical kind of amount of time it takes to find the right candidate?
Searches maximum between start of contract through start of the person sitting in the chair for me runs maximum 2 months. That includes also a notice period for the executive assistant. When you're at the high level, you typically don't walk out of your job. So it's a 2 to 3 week, maybe sometimes a 4 week process for them to give notice to their executive. So they're doing the right thing. So 2 months is about average.
Now for you, during this kind of managing through this pandemic, it's probably opened some doors and closed some doors, just like it has for everybody else. But you decided in the midst of all this chaos to found the C-Suite Executives Association. Can you talk about what compelled you to do that and to really, kudos to you for kind of leaning into your industry and really trying to help the folks that you serve?
Sure. Yeah, well, thank you. It was because I'm so passionate about the executive assistant as a person, as well as a profession, because I am the furthest thing from an EA. I have a great group of people that I've actually placed recently, and I wanted to introduce some of them to each other just because we're all cooped up at home. We all need to learn from each other, or they do, and I do as well. And there are very little means to get out of the house and to do so. So that was my first and foremost. And also, I had presented at a conference a few years ago, and I had an executive assistant that came to me and said, do you know of any organizations where we could, that are great networking opportunities for executive assistants? And I said, no, but let me think on that. And of course, I am who I am, and I'm initiator. So I decided, well, now is the time to start this this group, and let's go. And I gathered a group of people, and we just decided to start talking. And the next thing you knew, I had guest speakers showing up, and now I've got a calendar for the next 4 months set up, and we've got great people. And I honestly don't know where this is going, but I know that the universe is taking us there, and people are enjoying the camaraderie, the connection, and being able to learn from others. And I'm just very excited and just blessed to be able to help people connect and learn that they're not alone, even though they're in their office spaces at home and managing their pets and their children's school. And it's just a really nice outlet for people to connect with like-minded folks while they're working remotely.
Yeah, I would imagine that this is exactly what those folks need, especially now with all this work from home. They need an outlet to be able to feel safe and vulnerable to ask maybe what could be a dumb question to their boss, but everybody there wants to help them and answer it and help them be successful. So congratulations for doing this. This is a gift you're giving everyone. I hope they appreciate it.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much. We're having a great time.
So now if there's an executive out there that's looking or is considering looking for an executive assistant, I would imagine nowadays your network is all over the place. It doesn't matter. It's not Minnesota. It could be anywhere.
Absolutely. I've got executive assistants from coast to coast, north to south. And depending upon the model of the CEO or the president, whether they are looking for 100% virtual EA, which is possible, or somebody in the office, I can identify that perfect person for them.
And if somebody wants to learn more, have a more substantive conversation with you or somebody on your team, what's the coordinates, website or social handles?
Sure. If you want to contact me, I can be reached at steelrecruiting.com. My Twitter account is at Steel Recruit. And then I'm also on LinkedIn. I have a homepage for my business called Steel Recruiting. And you can always give me a call, text. I'd be happy to have a conversation with you.
Well, congratulations on all the success.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for having me here today.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on High Velocity Radio.